you are here with us in such a mighty way. And that, Lord, that you look out upon your people. You know them by name. You know them individually. You know every need in this chapel, and you know every need to those that are listening live right now as well. Somehow, some way, let me just completely fade away, and may they only hear and see Jesus this morning. And may your words, O God, may the living words, the sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrate all the way down to the bone and the marrow, separating, Lord, and may it become alive in our hearts. May doubt be forever removed and unbelief completely displaced from every avenue of our thinking. And Lord God, as we traffic and move down the narrow road following you, we thank you that, Lord, it's a place of victory. It's a place of growth. It's a place, Lord, for more than conquerors. We look to you this morning now for your word to just be the light of our life. May we feel your warmth. May we feel your embrace. May you overcome us, O God, with your grace. We pray this morning for those we love, all those who have been so ill. We lift up to you as well. Lord, help me now. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. I want you to turn this morning to two places. I won't be there. It'll be there in a few minutes. But I want you to mark your place now so you'll be there when I'm ready. And that is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10. Now, we're going to be at other places. We're not teaching through a book this morning. We're teaching different things, so we're going to be jumping around in the Scriptures, and I pray that you're prepared to do so. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10. I've been doing a lot of thinking and praying about the year that we've entered into, and that is the purpose and the reason for this message this morning. Is that, you know, I believe in my heart that when a nation starts turning away from God, in other words, turning away from God's word and turning away and exalting themselves above the authority of Scripture, that they open a door for the devil. Would you say I'm right? Amen. And so what happens is, as we, as this nation that we love, that we pray for, as we seemingly slip a little deeper and deeper into the things of the world, a breach actually occurs by where the enemy, you know, Ephesians 4:27, give no opportunity, don't open a door for the devil, that we open a door for darkness to prevail. And wherever you find darkness, you will find people that think like darkness. Does that make sense? And so what happens is that the generation underneath us, the younger people, the practicing the tolerance today and so forth, the educational system, which can fill your mind full of things that are completely untrue, start believing lies instead of truths. So this morning, I want to talk to you about lies that Christian believe. And what we want to do is we want to remove these untruths from our life. I don't have a lengthy list, just a few I want to share with you. But we want to make sure that now that we're open to a greater attack, and I believe that we are, I believe that the battle for the mind is greater right now than it has been ever. More than last year, it's increased. There's just that ongoing, subtle, very quiet attack on the mind of Christians because the darkness seems to be winning. And so whenever that's allowed, you have the attack that's usually being increased in your life. All these thoughts running through your mind, through your head, and these doubts and so forth. And so what we want to do this morning is we kind of want to declutter and detox and clean out our minds. Is that okay? And we want to leave here this morning renewed and refreshed in our spirits. And so it's very easy for us to assume, since we're believers, we're holding the truth in our hands. We believe in the truth and so forth, and we're followers of the truth. You would think that we would be less susceptible to the lies of the world and of the devil. However, and unfortunately, you know, Christians believe sometimes many lies, don't they? Yes, they do. And what we want to do this morning is clear some of those things up. You know, my life scripture is John 8:32. You shall know the truth will set you free. It would probably be more beneficial if, when I quote that scripture, as I do often, that I would quote it with a verse following to give it a greater context and greater understanding. Because it says in John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews that believed, he said this, he says, if, there's a condition there, if you abide, live, dwell, be in union with, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, if you do that, if the Word of God, the truth of God is alive and living in your hearts, then ye shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. Now listen, if we only know the truth and not are applying the truth, we're not going to be a free people. Does that make sense? It's very, very important that we get that into our hearts. See, a Christian can be very, very active in church. And I'm thankful for the Christians that are. But they might be active in the body of Christ, but they might not be active in renewing their minds to God's Word. They might not be studying God's Word and so forth. And when that doesn't happen, when you have a zeal without knowledge, you can get in a lot of trouble. Not only do you get in a lot of trouble, but your mind, unfortunately, then is just an open receptacle to receive things that may not be true in your life because you have nothing to back it up with. You don't know the Word of God that well to be able to combat the lies that are there. Does that make sense? So we want to be very careful this morning because true freedom is found whenever we literally allow the Word of God to dominate and to rule our lives and especially our thinking. And we live in a world today that is absolutely bathed in lies. Amen? Just bathed in lies. So let's remove some lies from our thinking this morning. You know, remember when we studied out from John, 1 John, where he said in 1 John 2:21, I believe it is, he said, "There no lies of the truth." Boy, that's a good word because what that means is that we cannot recognize the lie or a lie unless we know the truth of God's Word. What a privilege it is for us to gather together and to hold in our Word God's Word. Amen. Well, how we know how to live our lives and so forth. So you should be at 2 Timothy chapter 4, but look at verse 2 here. The old Paul, Nero is going to kill him. He's in prison. And he is writing a message to Timothy from prison. He says, "Timothy, listen to me very carefully." He says, "I want you to do something." And look at this exclamation mark. Paul is shouting. He says, "Preach the word." In other words, proclaim it, trumpet it, herald it, deliver the truth. Make it known to everyone, Timothy. He says, and look how he tells him to do it. He says, "And be ready." That speaks of being passionate. It speaks of an urgency. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, explain it and then give and follow it with an application. And then he tells us why. Now listen very carefully. This is the time that we're in right now. Paul says, "For the time will come." There's a future day, Timothy. And beloved one, it's right today. "The time will come when they," meaning professing Christians, those in the church, "will not tolerate," they will not endure healthy or sound doctrine, "but according to their own cravings," their own desires, "because they have itching ears, they will heap up," or literally accumulate for themselves, "teachers." Now watch this. "And they," professing Christians, "and they will turn their ears away from the" what? "The truth," meaning I don't want to listen to it anymore, "and be turned aside to fables." Now listen very carefully. Talking about removing lies from our life this morning. You know, if we do not desire, Christian, to be spiritually healthy, then we belong to this group that Paul is talking about. And if without the truth, we're not going to be spiritually healthy, we're going to be spiritually sick. Amen? And not only that, this group here, they want to live in a fantasy land. Listen, you know what, Christians, let me say something to us all, from the pulpit all the way down, all of us need to constantly and continually grow up. Amen? We don't live in a fantasy land. We don't command God. We can't say, "God, do this and do that." God is God. He's Almighty God. He's a thrice holy God. Listen, these people want to live in a fantasy land here. You know, they're never sick. They're never going to suffer. They're never going to starve. Listen, you know what? When you come to Christ, you may be a martyr. Somebody might kill you. Are you listening to me? You know, Christians are not very popular any longer in America. Have you noticed that? Matter of fact, as the days go on, we're less popular and less popular all the time. And so we don't know. So this group, they want false relief. They want to live in Neverland and so forth, you know. And the fact is they want to live off fairy tales. And the problem with living off fairy tales, they're not true. A fairy tale, is a fairy tale true? You know, once upon a time. Is that true? No. No, it's not true at all. So that means they prefer. Now listen, this group prefers a lie or lies over the truth of God's word. They say, I don't want to listen to it anymore. It's too demanding. It's just too much ruling my life. Whatever the reason, they prefer the lie. Now, I want to talk about some lies this morning that Christians believe, especially in America. And the number one, I think it's one of the huge lie, okay? And is that believers, many, many believers, they don't think the church, well, they don't think that church attendance is important. Boy, that is one of the biggest lies in the world. Listen, but Bill, you don't understand. Sunday morning is my only day to sleep in. Mine too. You know, see what happens? Look at me. That's what happens when you can't sleep in on Sunday morning. You look like this. Yeah, but Bill, I have an app. I can just listen. No, that's not going to cut it. You don't understand, Bill. My best praying time is Sunday morning when I'm on the lake. Oh, I'm out there. It's all peaceful. It's still. There's no one there because everyone is in church. And yeah, then you praying, all right. Oh, Lord, please, please send that fish by. No, he's only going to send fish by that are in schools. They're smart fish. They get away. Okay. God really spoke to me last Sunday, Bill. I wasn't here, but I was at the NASCAR. Oh, the roar of the engines. I started praying, especially at Daytona, when all the scraps started coming through the fence. And, oh, I had a great prayer time then. No, listen. I know that it's, listen, I certainly agree. We need to go out and enjoy our life, but never, never treat church as unimportant. Listen, if a believer is not an habitual attender, if a believer is not connected and committed to some local body, then they are in trouble. And not only are they in trouble, listen very carefully, that means that they're believing a lie. They're believing that church is not really that important. I'm saved and you know what, I can just kind of bounce around and never connect, never commit. No, loved one, that is not true. And that is a lie that's embedded into the American Christian culture. And it's not true. That's why you should be now at Hebrews 10:24. Look what it says. It says, let us consider what? One another. Well, you can't do that if you're reading the Fort Worth Star Telegram right now at home, listening on your app, can you? Oh, that was another joke. This is not working very well in the second service. No, let us consider one another in order to stir up or provoke two things, love and good works, and not forsaking, or literally the abandoning of the assembling of ourselves together. Now watch this, as is the habit of some. The word manner there means as the habit of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, we have something special to do on Sunday mornings. Amen? Yes, we come to worship the Lord. Yes, we come to hear the Word of God. But you know something? It's very difficult to stir one another up and provoke one another into good works and to love if you're not here doing it. It's kind of difficult to do that, isn't it? It's really difficult to do that if you're not connected and committed to a local body where you become that encourager, where you become that exhorter. It's very difficult because it says exhorting one another. Not really what you can get out of coming, but what you can give to others by your coming. Amen? Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19 that we are members of the household of God. And there is absolutely no way, since we are the body of Christ, that a Christian can fulfill God's plan for him by being outside of the body or apart from fellowship, because we need one another. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of lone rangers or lone Christians or, you know, isolated saints. They don't know anything about that. Now, of course, there are those that are seemingly isolated because maybe they're in a daycare or something like that to be taken care of. We understand that. But when a person is physically able, not confined to the home or a sick bed or whatever, we should be together because we need one another. Amen? You know, we are the body. of Christ. We're members one of another. You know, I've said it so often in this church, but which part of your body are you willing to do away with or give up right now? Would you say, Bill, I don't really need my right lung. Go ahead and let it stay home. No, you won't listen. You want every part of your body to stay connected to you, committed to you. Is that right? Oh, well, I don't know about you, but I definitely do. Not only that, I don't want anything to go wrong. I want all of it to keep working the way it's working. Amen? Well, see, we're members of one of another. We're joint supplies joint. When we come together, we are the literal. We're the body of Christ, a section, a portion of it on this planet. We're the true church. And I look at that and I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to cut myself off. Because if you cut yourself off from the body, just like if I remove that finger right there, God forbid, that may hurt when I even talked about it. And left in there, it would be just on this pulpit. Well, you know what? Is it going to live? No, it's severed from my body. It's going to die. It's the same way with a Christian. If a Christian is out there just hanging out, not really connecting, not really committing, not being a part of a fellowship, you know what? You're just hopping around. You're not growing. You're just going from place to place. You're not planted. And so when you sever yourself, you just start withering and you start dying. Now listen, God help us remove that lie from the church. Amen? Listen, church attendance is very vital and very important. But not only that, I believe the reason why so many believers today have a mindset that the gathering of ourselves together is just not that important. And here's what I think. I think it is because they have a low view of the church of Jesus Christ. They don't see it clearly. Listen to me, church. When a person walks through those doors, when they see us, we are the body of Christ. Amen? Whenever a person walks through that door, whatever, they have just walked into the midst of a people that God has blessed. Amen? No. God didn't bless. The unbelievers are not blessed, loved one. God will send rain on the just and the unjust alike. But every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies belongs to you and belongs to me. Ephesians 1:3. See, when people walk into this fellowship, you know what they see? They may not understand it, but they have a low view of the church. We are not only blessed, we're chosen. God chose you. God has adopted you. He's accepted you. He's redeemed you. He sealed you with His Spirit. And He has forgiven us, and we are His made alive saints. We are actually, I hesitate to use this word, and I've never used it in my ministry, but we are God's royalty. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. We are co-heirs with Christ. How can we have a low view of the church? Whenever someone walks into this building and they see you, they see not only the only salt of the earth, they see the only light of the world. They see a city that's upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the church. We are forever triumphant. The gates of hell will never prevail against us. And we are the only answer in the world because we have the only divine, perfect truth from God. Amen? Do you really believe that? That we have the truth? You see, we have the truth. Listen, the answer for those that are dying. You know how rich we are? We are so rich. And may I say something to you? And I say this not to hurt other people or to belittle them, but the poorest people in the world are those that are without Jesus Christ. Man, we are rich. We have everything that we need. We have our Lord. We have our Savior. It says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that we are the church of the living God. And then he goes on to say, tell us that we are the pillar and the ground of the what? The truth. We hold the truth of God. Listen, to be the church of the living God means that we have the very life of God working in us. Do you have a low view of God's church? Boy, I pray not. You know, I hear, I don't like that church. Well, you know what? Church happen to be people. Amen? Let God sort them all out in the end. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and start doing good in your life. Amen? Yeah, but who cares what they did? They're going to have to answer of God. Everybody's going to have to give an account. God's not blind. He knows everything that everyone is doing. Yeah, but you don't care. Who cares? You make sure your life is right. You make sure you're serving the Lord. Who cares what those other people, anyone is doing? I just want to know what God is doing. I want to know what God is up to. Now, and I think about, oh God, we're the church. There's not anyone equal to us. How can we have a low view of the church? Now, look at this. Not only that, but at the end there of Hebrews 10, in that verse that we're studying, verse 25, it says here that, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, one more thing about the church before we move on to some another topic is this. There's no safety for anyone outside of the church. Did you? If you're not in the ark, you're the judgment of the world. God's going to judge the world. Amen? So it says here, so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Well, it's not the day of the Lord. That's that day when God's wrath is poured out on this planet. This is the day of Christ. That means that instantly, any minute, any second, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day. That means the day of Christ means this. We may be snatched out of here. Amen? In other words, we call it the rapture, caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. That may happen today. That's why Jesus said, listen, he said, stay awake, be ready. Constant expectancy. He said, because I'm coming in an hour. You don't know. You don't know when. You don't know the hour of your Lord's coming. The church is the only means of escape. Now, whenever I started thinking about the darkness that's prevailing in our land, and I love our country, not trying to speak evil of it, or just being honest with you, I started asking people all week long questions, call them, talk with them, friends I know, people at the office and so forth. I asked so many questions, but I asked this question here. I said, what is the truth? What is the truth you know, but struggle to believe? What is the truth of God's word that you know, but you struggle to believe? I tell you, the responses were overwhelming. Some of the people I talked with, they said, well, you know what? The truth that I know, but that I struggle to believe is that God really accepts me. Don't you see that's not clear thinking, isn't it? Would you say see, if we don't believe, now I'm not beating up the person who told me that, but I've thought that in my life, haven't you? How could God accept me? Well, he doesn't accept me. He accepts me in his son. And in his son, man, you've got it made. Amen. Oh, listen, our sins are washed away. We've kept the law. Everything we've done has pleased God. Why? We are in his son, Jesus Christ. We have perfect righteousness. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. We have his righteousness. Are we accepted? Yes, we are accepted in the blood. Ephesians 1:6, which I've told you a million times, is that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his son. But you know what? You can know that. You can know that, but not really believe that. Are you listening to me? See, you can know God's truth. Okay, yes, I've got a theological fact. I've got it down. But the truth of the matter is, it's not living in you. Do you understand? And that's what I'm saying today. You've got to get rid of that lie. God has accepted you. Or another one was, I just don't believe God is going to forgive me. I don't believe he's forgiven me. Oh, but the blood of Jesus has washed us away all of our sins. Oh, no, but I just don't feel forgiven. Well, sometimes I don't feel forgiven. But that doesn't mean you're not forgiven. Amen? See, we're in a battle. We live in our flesh. The devil hates us, and we live in the world that's under the god of this age. Listen, the wicked one. We have a battle going on. That's why the first piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, the first piece of armor that you're supposed to put on is what? Girding yourself up with what? Truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. You see, if the girdle holds all the other pieces connect to the belt or to the girdle. And if you don't have truth in you, all the shield of faith, all the rest of it, it's not going to do you any good. Because you have to build it off of God's word. You have to believe God's word. Amen? Not just know God's word. You have to believe God's word. Jesus just told us in John 8:31, remember, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. You've got to say, this is God's word. It is truth. This is a lie. Get away from me. And so when we look at all this, we have to understand that. Another one was this. When I said, what is the truth you know, but you struggle to believe? Well, they said, I know that God is enough, but I just don't believe he is enough. I know he's enough. but I need this, and I need this, and I have to have that. And are you listening to me? See, I've got to have those three. I've got to have that money. I've got to have this. I need so many other things that I put my trust in. Listen to me. God is enough. And you'll never know, listen, until if we were stripped of everything we had and everything we owned and everyone that we loved, and we were left homeless without anything, our God is enough for you in every situation that you face and I face in my life. Amen? And I look at that, we have to believe that. We just can't just say it or let it be mental assent in our hearts. No, we've got to believe that. See, for us to know the truth and not believe the truth is to believe a lie. Are you following me? Very important. You know, is God big enough to take care of us? What did David tell us in Psalm 23:1? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall need everything." Oh, God, help me. No. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. Listen, if you don't believe that, I'm challenging you, I'm loving you, I'm provoking you. See, you can only be provoked by me if you show up. Do you understand? That's why we assemble together. It says to provoke one another unto love and good works, stir one another up. I'm just stirring you up right now. I'm saying, oh, come on, if you say you know it, but you don't believe it, then you're believing a lie, because God's word is true. And I look and I say, Lord, I know you're going to supply whatever I need. Jesus said, I want you to live above the fear of want. Where God said, I don't want you to live like that. The Bible says in Psalm 34:9, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." A scripture that every person in this chapel and those that are listening live, I know that you've memorized it. You have it on your refrigerator. It comes to your heart, to your mind at least once a week. And that's Philippians 4:19, where it says, "My God," not my strength, not my intelligence, not my ability, not my hard work or my sweat. "My God shall supply" what? "All your need," and it tells us how, "according to the riches which are in Christ Jesus." Amen? That the riches, that means God's unlimited supply. He has everything you need. You know, the problem with that verse, which is a verse that I quote all the time, you may say, well, Bill, the truth is, I quote, that promise is failing me. God's never failed you. Well, that promise has failed me. No, that promise has never failed you. You know what's bad about, now listen to me. If we don't really rightly divide the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. It's so easy to take a scripture and isolate that scripture and build a doctrine on it. But it doesn't mean that doctrine will be correct. Are you listening to me? If you really understand Philippians 4:19, where Paul was telling the church at Philippi, a church that gave and gave and gave and gave, then you'll understand the context. See, if we divorce the verses before Philippians 4:19, we lose the power of what he's trying to teach us. If you go back and study that out, here's what you'll find. You'll find that they were giving unto Paul, that they were giving aid unto Paul. And he was talking about these precious gifts, these monetary gifts, the things that they were giving unto him. He was talking about, he said, listen, you sent me aid time and time again. He says, for my necessities. He said, not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Meaning you can never outgive God. And he goes on and on talking about how that was a sacrifice well-pleasing to the Lord. Listen to me. Philippians 4:19 is the promise is to those who give, not to those who don't give. Are you listening to me? Very, very important. And they were giving to Paul. That's why Paul said, oh, and my God, because of what you're doing, this sweet sacrifice that you're giving, my God is going to supply all of your need according to the riches and glory. Listen, you know what a poor church is? A poor church is a church that doesn't give. That's exactly the truth. Now, Bill, are you talking about giving? Oh, stop it. I'm going to stop right now and teach on tithing for 2 straight hours. You're going to put me under the law. You know, I always, when people tell me that, I go, I'm not putting you under the law. I don't care what you do. You're going to give an account to God, you moron. You don't understand? Listen, you're putting me under the law. And they say, you know, the tithing you're giving, and you know, that passed away in the old covenant. And I said, well, did thou shalt not commit adultery? Did that pass away too? Thou shalt not murder either? Did that pass away? Did it pass away? No. Well, why would you say that something that happened 430 years, such as tithing, before the law was ever given, has passed away? Loved one, it came right through the cross. But I'm not talking about tithing. I just thought I'd throw that in. That made me feel so much better for some reason. No, listen, that scripture's talking about those who are giving. Listen, what did Jesus say? He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Men will come over what? And give into your bosom. You're going to be blessed. Proverbs 19:17, the foundational scripture for LNFI. He who hath pity on the poor. In other words, does something about it. Not just an emotion, but does something. He who hath pity on the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. Listen, man, God is so incredible. See, we've got to get these lies out of our head. Why is it that the church, so many in the church, this is a lie now. Listen to me. Study the word for yourself. Why is it that so many believers believe that giving to God is a loss? Well, there goes my money. Yeah, you know, that old pastor over there, you know. What is that? You don't give to me, you give to God. Study out Hebrews chapter 7, who you give to. It's to the Lord. Now listen, whenever we give, what does it say? What does the Bible talk about giving? Listen very carefully. Let's get this truth into our hearts and remove this lie. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give, talking about of our monetary, our funds, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, you know, I've got to give a dollar today. No. For God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, that kingdom principle is absolutely staggering. Amen. God says, you know, this is God. It's a principle, a spiritual principle. God says, and you know, I don't know how it comes back. Let God bring the return back any way he wants to. The main thing is that we give because God loves a cheerful giver. And as I always add to scripture, he'll take from a grouch too, but he loves a cheerful giver, okay? So we look at this and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. Listen very carefully. Let me back up. Do you really believe that scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:6, I just quoted to you? You know, lies, and I'll use myself. I'm not going to tell the story, but I'll use myself. Lies will steal your potential, my potential, that we have in Christ. Believing a lie will steal your potential. You can do anything that God has called you to do. No matter, listen, anything God has called you to do, his ability will make it happen in you. I mean, that is just a truth from God's word. You see, there's so many people in the church today, they really believe that, you know, they think, oh, well, what the world offers is just a little better than God is offering. Oh, no, it's not like that at all. Listen, the church today, we start believing that more things are going to make us happy. More money, more this, more that. Oh, no, listen, that's not. You know, the number one, when I asked people, I said, what is the truth you know? What is the truth that you know, but you struggle to believe? Do you know what the number one answer was? As I took a poll with so many people. Here it is. Is God really going to help me? Is God really going to help me? May I tell you that I have asked that question to God many, many times in my life. God, when are you going to help me? Or to struggle, our people say, I struggle to believe that God is big enough to handle these problems. Loved one, we never want to make our problems bigger than God. Amen? You know, and isn't that a true word? God, when are you really, you know, because we go through life and we say, Lord, we're trusting you and so forth. When are you really helping me? Are you really there? We have all said that in our lives. Listen, when I left my first pastorate, I boxed up all of my study books and my Bibles except for one. And I put them in the garage and I had planned on never pastoring again. As God is my witness. they're sick. My wife was sick with tumors in her body and not a dime in our pockets. Matter of fact, there's a gentleman that comes to the first service who was there with me in those early years, and thinking, you know, what am I going to do? No money, no insurance. And boy, the guilt that the devil would put on you. So here you are, boy, yeah, you're in the ministry and you sold your business. You went and did all this, and look at you. You don't have a dime to your name. Look at your wife. She's sick. She may not even live. And now you don't even have a place to stay, and it's pouring down rain, and there's a U-Haul in your driveway, and you've got to load up that furniture by yourself because nobody cares. We've all been there at times. Amen? I tell you that God cares. I tell you that God will help us. Listen, for us to know the truth and not believe the truth is to believe a lie. Listen to Joshua's farewell address to the children of Israel in Joshua 23:14. Let me read it to you. Joshua says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." In other words, he's going to die. He says, and you know, he's talking to the children of Israel. He says, you know in all of your hearts, and I pray we know that as well, in all of your hearts, in all of your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass, he says, for you. Not one word of them has failed. Listen to me. What is Joshua, what is the word of God teaching us? What is Joshua telling us? Here's what he's saying, that you, that I, me, all of us, we can build our lives on the integrity and the faithfulness of God's word. And that is the battle that we face right now. Either we're going to build our life on God's word or we won't. Listen, God is faithful. He will never, ever, 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 ever let you down. And he has, listen to me, he has never once failed anyone. He's never ever failed his people. God cannot lie. You may think it's not going to work. You may say, where is it going to happen at? How's it going to happen? I'm telling you, somehow, some way, God reaches down into the midst of our unbelief, in the midst of our doubt, and he does something. He'll do something to create faith, to rise faith up in your heart where you will believe. No different than whenever Jesus appeared there to Thomas, and Thomas said, I'm going back. I'm not going to believe him. I sold everything, boys. Yeah, you say you've seen him, but I haven't seen him. He hasn't appeared to me. Not unless I can put my finger in his side, see the wounds in his. No, you know. And guess what Jesus did? He walked right through the wall. Hey, Thomas. Reach forth their finger right now, huh? Don't be faithless, but be believing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Amen. Listen, if God needs to in your life, he loves you so much. He cares so much for you. He will create a visual just to increase your faith if he needs to be. Why? Because he redeemed you. He bought you. He purchased you. And his word is going to come to pass in your life. It's not going to fail. You know, but my daughter, she's out. She's gone. If she really loves the Lord, if she's really born again and she's living in the world, let me tell you what, God is going to drag her down and drag her back and drag him back, and they're going to come screaming and yelling back to God. I tell you that right now. Because when you're truly born again, you can't live in the world. You'll one day come to your mind where your mind says, what am I doing here? You come to yourself like the prodigal and say, I'm going home. I'm going home. Just do anything to me. You know, cuss me or do whatever you want to do, man. Just let me come home. I don't even want to be your son anymore. Just let me come home. Please let me come home. And God will run to you and embrace you, because he'll let your heart be so broken down, because he will capture you back. Amen. Listen, God has never failed me. He has never failed you. No problem, no sin, nothing that you're facing in your life is bigger than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remove the lies from your mind and embrace God's truth. Listen, we can trust God in any situation, in any circumstance. We can trust God. I look back and see all the wonderful things that God has done in my life. And I know you could say the same about yours. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe? I was talking to a person the other day along the same lines here about the things we struggle with. We know them, but we struggle to believe them. And I said, I just don't feel that God really cares for me. And I said, why? He's your father. Well, I know he's your father. I know he's my father. I said, wait a minute. No, you don't. Because if you knew, you may know he's your father, but you don't believe he's your father. Because if you believe that God is your real father, you really your dad, your Abba, listen to me, then you would not just embrace that as a theological fact. You'd embrace it into your heart. Amen? It would become a living truth. God is my Father, and my Father cares about me. He cares about everything that I'm going through. He feels every pain that I feel. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always looking over you. We sleep. We slumber. But God says, no, no. I have my eye right on you at all times. I'm going to sustain you whatever you're going through in your life. But Bill, I'm so sick, I may die. If you die, you're going to go home to be with the Lord. Amen. That's what's so good. We know what's going to happen. Listen, why are we so sold out on this planet anyway? There's nothing here. Well, tell me what's here. Come on. The younger I get, the more I want to, you know. No. Listen. You know the truth, but you don't believe the truth. Therefore, you believe a lie. Listen, don't let a lie replace God's truth in your heart. Amen? Don't do that. God cares for you. Listen, you probably know the scripture I'm getting ready to quote because you know it by heart. 1 Peter 5:6, where it says, therefore, talking about God's caring for you, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that in due time he may do something. Due time, he may exalt you. You know what? There's a season for you to come out of your circumstance. There is a season for you to say, okay, God, where God says, you know what? Due time. He knows how much you can take. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows everything. He already, the answer is right is tomorrow, or the answer is the next day, or the answer is a week down the road, but the answer is coming. And if you don't believe that, you're believing a lie. I'm telling you, because my Father, your Father, he loves you. He cares for you so much. He sent his only begotten Son to die for you. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to have life. He wants you to have the abundance of life. He wants you to really live and live for him on this planet that is doomed. And I look and I say, oh God, I don't want a lie living in my heart, in me at all. Listen, God never forsakes his people. Never. There's something that rises up in me when I say that. And it's not that I get emotional. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the presence of the living God confirming in me those words that I speak. And I get overwhelmed with emotion because they're so true. I tell you, there are times I look at things and I say to myself, as you have said, how much longer will this continue? How much longer will this affect me? And here's what I turn to so often in my life is the next verse in 1 Peter 5 where he says, casting all your care, all of your anxiety, all of your worry, everything that's torturing, pulling you apart, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. God cares for you. There's a lot of people in Tarrant County, they don't care for me at all. But God does. God cares for me. He cares for you. It says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Your Father can handle any problem that you give to him. Anyone that, whatever you cast upon him. Listen, remove that lie. Remove that lie that God can't help you or his help is going to be too late. In due time means the right time, the perfect time. It's going to come to you. Are you listening to me? Some of you are facing, you're unemployed. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know what to do. I'm telling you, God does. You look to him. Trust him. He's not going to let you fall apart. Listen, in my office, in my chair that I sit in, the one that I sit in and pray, right there I have a Bible right next to my chair. It's an amplified version. I pull it out at least once a week, and I read one set of scriptures to myself once a week. And I'm going to read them to you. And I know that I must read them to you at least 5 times every year. But they're so, I own those scriptures. I own them. Do you understand what I mean? I believe them with all my heart. And I'll turn to them and I'll just meditate on them and I'll let them, the word of God, the truth, soak in, because my mind will be trying to believe lies about the circumstances, the situations that I'm in. Let me read to you from the Amplified Version, that Bible that I have in my office. Let me just read this portion of scripture that I go to so often, where it says in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "For he," meaning God, "himself has said, I will not in any way fail you." Do you know how many times I have read that to myself? Bill, I will never fail you. You're not going to see it in the King James. I'm reading the Amplified. I'll never fail you, Bill. I'll never fail my sons and my daughters. I'll never fail you. Do you believe that? Or is it just, oh, that's the word of God. I've got it memorized. It's on my refrigerator. No. Well, I put it in my booklet. It was at a conference I was at. No. Is it living in your heart? I'm talking about removing lies from your mind right now. Getting them out of there. Where you say, listen, my God will never fail me. He will never fail me. Nor will he ever give up on you. Nor will he ever leave you without support. Never leave you without support. Man, what a blessing. There, I've accused God of leaving me without support. And I was so ashamed. I am ashamed to say that to you. But he has never once left me without support. Never once, and nor will he ever leave you. Listen to these words here. He says, I will not. Three times he says this, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. And he says, assuredly not. As a matter of fact, what he's saying, it ain't going to happen. Do you believe that? Is that just a word? That's the living word of God. Amen. Now listen to what it goes on. It says, so we take comfort and we're encouraged and we're confident and we boldly say, here it is, the Lord is my helper. I will not. Now that means we have a choice now. Now it's on our part. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. And then he says, what can man, what can this world, what can these circumstances, what can this life do to me in contrast to what God will do for me? Amen? Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, the voice of fear. We all fight with that. We all hear the voice of fear every day. Dread and all that to come into our, we're not going to make it. Yes, you are. All these things that come against us. Listen, if you allow fear to direct your life, you're going to be in trouble. It'll choose a destiny for you. It'll imprison you. It will paralyze you. Don't believe the lie of the world, the flesh, or the devil. Amen. Believe the word of God, which is truth. God desires you to be fearless men and women, not fearful men and women. Amen. That's what God has for you. He's not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Did you catch that? He has not given you. God didn't give you any fear. He's not going to give you any fear. The only thing that God wants you to fear is him. And when you fear him, you have absolutely nothing left to fear. Now listen, turn with me to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Let's look at a scripture here for a moment in chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, as I turn there with you. To know the truth and not believe the truth is to believe a lie. You follow me? Very important we embrace that now. Now let's look at verse 25. And let's listen to God's word to Israel. It says, to whom will you liken me? And this is God speaking. To whom will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Isn't that wonderful? Who is equal to God? No, but is your circumstance, my circumstance, what I'm going through, what I'm facing, is it equal to God? No, God, there's no one equal to God. Are you following me? He says, well, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. In other words, open your eyes, look up into the night sky. Who brings out their host, the stars, brings them out by number? He calls them all by name. Can you imagine that? God knows the name of every star. Do you know how long? Can think about that for a minute. Everything, he knows their name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, watch this, not one is missing. Not one is missing. I could even say, and not a hair of your head is missing. He knows where it's at. Amen? Now look what God says. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. What is he saying? God, the nation of Israel here is saying to God, God, you don't care about us anymore. But the truth of the matter is, they didn't care about God. They went into sin, didn't they? They're saying, Lord, you've forgotten us. And he's saying, you know, the one who named the stars, there's not one of them missing. He says, I haven't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten about you. He knows exactly what you're facing today, tomorrow, and next week. Amen? Next year, forever. And look what he says in verse 28. He says, have you not known? God's asking a question. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is he weary. And watch this. His understanding is unsearchable. God says, have you not known? He says, why don't you go back and relearn the Word of God? Why don't you get back into the truth of God's Word? Well, that way you'll be assured in your heart and assured in your mind. And then when you get there to the Word of God, then believe the Word of God. He says, and then he asked another guy, he said, have you not heard? He says, open your ears. Oh, church, we need to open our ears to what God has already told us. Amen? Now listen to me. Do you know what our Father does, even though this is an old covenant scripture? It's just as relevant right this minute as any scripture in the Bible. Do you know what God does for his sons and for his daughters? Now listen to me. Talking about how God cares for you, how much he wants to help you. Look at the next verse, because God, in verse 29, look what he does. Look what he shares with his children. He gives power to the what? Okay. Do you believe that? No. Listen to me. When you have lost your job, when you are sick, when you're going through a divorce, when your children are out in the world, when you're wondering why you're messed up with this secret sin or whatever it is, you're going, Lord, I just can't do this. And he goes, you listen to me. You think you're weak? You think these circumstances have worn you out? Okay, they have. But here's the deal. He gives power to the what? To the weak. And to those that have no might. That means this. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get through this issue. I don't know. My husband's never going to come to the Lord. My wife is never going to come to the Lord. You listen to me. God says, I tell you, and those who have no strength left, those that don't think they're going to make it, he says, he what? He increases strength. I'm going to ask you a question, because it's easy to preach this. It's easy to talk about this. But in the midst of the problem that you're going through in your life, the question is not if you know it. The question is, do you believe it? That's the question you have to ask yourself right now. He says, oh, I'll give you the strength. Even the youth. Look what God says. He says, those young people, they're going to faint. They're going to be weary. And all those young men, they're utterly going to fall. In other words, those people that looking good in the prime of their life, they're just going to fall down. But look what he says. But those who what? But those. Let's be those people, can we? But those who wait. That word means eagerly, expectant, confident expectation. It means that you're expecting an answer to the problem. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on the wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Listen, God says, that's what you need. If you need that, then eagerly expect it. Believe that I'm going to give it to you. Jesus said, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Faith, loved one, believing the truth, getting those lies out of your mind. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible. Do you hear me? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you catch that? Seek Him. Not seek your circumstance. Not seek the answer. Seeking Him. You find God and you find, and everything you need is right there. Amen? He said, well, Bill, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. See, that's a lie. You don't have enough faith to get through this. Yes, you do. So many people, I hear that. I'm not believing. I don't believe. Why? I don't have any faith. Well, where did your faith go? God, see, and you say, well, what do you mean? I said, you have everything you need to please God. He says, without it, faith, it's impossible to please me. That means He has to give you faith or He would be guilty. Amen? So He has. Romans 12:3. He's given you the measure. He's dealt it out to you, the measure of faith. But if my faith is kind of small, okay, then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. Amen? And when you start hearing the word, that's why you need to be in church on Sunday. That's why you need to say, I need a word. I need some strength this week. Listen, when you come here, I want to have something to say today that you'll take with you tomorrow and that you'll live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday until next Sunday, that you can meditate on it. Because you're going to have problems. You're going to face issues in your life. And if you don't allow the truth to replace lies, traditions, and all that nonsense, man, it's going to be hard, and you're going to suffer needlessly. God says, I want you to get the truth in your heart and get that other junk away from you. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? And I know if I don't answer that question, then I'll get 100 emails tomorrow. I want you to turn now, and let's close. We'll close with this scripture, maybe another one, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's turn there together, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look, let's replace lies right now, and let's do it with God's truth. Now, let's show how it's done. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now listen, that's what the devil wants you to do. This is talking about spiritual warfare. See, the devil wants you to fight him in your own strength. No. He'll beat us up if we do that. We need to be strong in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10, amen? Okay. Now listen, we need to know the word, the truth. So look what it says. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not of this world. They're supernatural, loved one. But mighty in God. Literally, they're God empowered. And what are they for? Now watch this. For pulling down strongholds. Now, if you take this text that I am reading in context, the strongholds that Paul is talking about here are thoughts. It's talking about the thinking. It's talking about wrong thoughts, things that are not true. He's talking about anything that would exalt itself against above God's word. He said, for pulling down strongholds, and what's what we do? Casting down imaginations, as it says in the King James, but here it says arguments. That's false doctrine or whatever. It's not true. Now watch this, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, what a statement, bringing every thought, making every thought subject to Jesus. Think about that. Bringing every thought into what? Captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is an interesting word where it says those thoughts here. It says where we bring every thought into captivity. That's literally a picture of a prisoner with a spear taking someone and locking him away. Now listen, what is God telling us to do? He's saying, you know what? When lies come into your mind, here's what you have to do. You have to take out your spear. What is our spear? The Word of God. The sword of the Lord. Amen? The Word of God. Listen, it's the living Word of God. And we say, that's a lie. God doesn't love me. That's a lie. You find that in the Bible. God doesn't love. He loves you. Do you understand? God will never forgive you. Well, he might forgive me this time, but he won't forgive me for that one. But it's over and over and he won't. God will forgive you if you really believe and you really repent. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen to me. You need to take those thoughts, all those false things, all those lies, and you take out the sword of the Lord and the Word of God, and you take it and you whittle those lies down and say, that is a lie. You get out of my mind. You don't have any right. My mind is for the depository of the Word of God, nothing else. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust His Word. I know who I am in Christ. Amen? Listen, see, it's one thing to know, okay, I know where the Scripture is. But if you don't do that, that means you don't believe that. And that means you're going to let any lie just come into your mind and rest there. And rest there. Boy, lies hurt. You need to take them captive and actually punish them. Get out of my mind. You stay out of my mind. You'll not be on my lips, or nor will you be in my thinking. My mind is being renewed to the Word of God. And only my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have the depository of the mind of Christ. And no one can shape my thinking but Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when you do that, all of a sudden you're free. You start becoming more free and more free. Now listen. A scripture that I go to often, and I'm closing. I know it's time to go home. About God helping us. About God being with me. The decisions that I have to make, counseling decisions or family decisions or just personal life decisions, is Isaiah 41:10, where God says, He says, fear not. That's a good word, isn't it? Don't be afraid, Bill. Don't be afraid, Calvary. He tells us why not to be afraid. He says, fear not. Here it is. For I am with you. Do you really believe that? No. It's so easy, church. I'm challenging you. I'm provoking you. It's so easy to say it. But do you believe the presence of the Lord is with you? Yes, He's not only in us. He's alongside of us. He's here right now. Fear not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We have His presence. We have His power. We have His provision. We have His protection. Amen? We have everything we need. And besides that, you say, well, Bill, that's an Old Testament scripture. Well, let me give you one from the New Testament. And lo, Jesus said, I am with you sometimes. No. Lo, I am with you always. Always. In a little bit, He's probably going to go to Luby's with me. That would be an act of faith to eat there, believe me. I will be with you always, even until the end of this world, the end of the age, what we call time. He'll be with us forever and ever and ever. And He says, amen, which means you can count on it. So be it. Listen to me. We are not going to allow the lies of this life to conquer our hearts and our minds. Amen? We're going to walk through this life and we're going to walk over our circumstances because we're going to believe in God. We're going to look for the open door that God is bringing us. And you know, listen, I know it's time to go. All right. Isn't it? You know what hurts me? Is I know that there are people listening live right now. And I know that there are people sitting in this sanctuary. You don't know Jesus. You don't know Him. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, Jesus says, heaven, all this can be yours, and forgiveness of sin and joy in your heart. You know, you're going to be persecuted, yeah, all the rest of it. But over here, the devil says, yeah, you stay with me, you're going to go to hell. I mean, which one is the person going to choose? Well, if you're in your right mind, you're going to say, I'm going to go to the Lord. But you can't do it. You know why there's so much trouble? You know why people don't believe the gospel? You know, because listen, when a person is not born again, it's just easier to believe a lie. Do you understand? Why? Because the Bible tells us why. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, if a person is perishing, it's because what? There's a veil over their eyes. They're blinded. See, the God of this age, the God of this age, it says, if our gospel, the good news is hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, I just spoke a truth to you. You're believing a lie. You're thinking there's not a devil. There is a devil. He hates you. He's blinding you. He wants to be your master. Matter of fact, he is your master. That may not do much for your self-esteem, but that's the word of God. You want to be a slave to the most wicked entity in the universe? Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Yeah, you do. He's right there beside you. The Holy Spirit's right there beckoning you, calling you. Your mind is going crazy, but your heart says, is there hope? Yes. Your mind says, I just want to get out of here. When will this service be over? Jesus says, I want you. I died for you. I want you. Come to me. I want to forgive you. I want to cleanse you. Don't live with a blinded mind. You come to Christ right now. Say, Bill, how do I do that? You pray this prayer with me. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He will save you right now. Those that are listening live, those that are sitting here, he will save you right now as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You pray this prayer with me. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, I'm not talking about joining the Baptist Church or Calvary Chapel. I'm talking about your a relationship with Jesus who's alive, who wants to save you. But I'm not good enough. That's a lie. No one is good enough. I need to clean up my act first. That's a lie. You need to come to him and let him clean your act up. Because you can't do it and neither can I. Pray this prayer and let Jesus come into your heart. Let him save you right now. You'll never be the same again. Pray this prayer with me. Church, help me. Say, Father, I am a sinner. I heard the truth today. I'm going to stop believing the lie. Jesus, you're real. Come into my heart. Live in my heart. Capture all of me. Today, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And God raised him from the dead. Your word is true. And you promised that if I would confess him and believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Heads are bowed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer, only between you and God now.